Our scripture reading this morning is coming from Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 14 through 21. And it's a great passage and prayer from the Apostle Paul to us to understand God's great care and provision for us. Hear now the word of the Lord. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all of the fullness of God. And so now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. As you've heard me say numerous times, after a passage like that, maybe the best thing would be to sit down and be quiet for the prayer that Paul has prayed. So rich, so wonderful, so meaningful, so instructive, and so inspiring. As we look at the gift of prayer, it is a gift of God's grace. And grace, by its very definition, means gift. It flows from God's love, from God's heart, from God's compassion and care, and his desire to love and partner with and have relationship and communion with you and with me. And as Dave has already reminded us in his morning prayer, the pastoral prayer for us, is that it seems that our world is in such great need of prayer so continuously. And soon as we think that we're perhaps on our way past difficulties, challenge and struggles, cruelty and terror, bam, it hits again. And so sometimes when we pray, we feel like, and perhaps we ask the question, I think we've all asked the question when we stop and we think and we reflect, and when we send our words and our thoughts, our concerns, our reflections toward heaven, it seems like they hit some barrier on the way up and they bounce back unanswered. And we ask the question, in fact, a wonderful book by the title, Where is God When It Hurts?, written by Philip Yancey a number of years ago, seeking to explore and answer that question. Just so, where is God in the midst of difficulty, challenge, and struggle? Why do we pray week after week, day after day, hour after hour? Oh Lord, we need peace. We need release. We need liberation from all this trouble, difficulty, turmoil, disease, illness, and sadness. And then in the midst of and at the end of sort of our whining and complaining and bearing and fulfilling and perhaps pouring out our frustration, all of a sudden we're reminded that God so loved the world that he sent and he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever would believe in him would have forgiveness, new life, reconciliation. And all of a sudden, the sun begins to peer through the darkened clouds. And over that horizon of those clouds, the clouds begin to break forth. And we begin to grab hold of that hope, that endless, that forever hope that was born of God's great love for you and for me. And we begin to realize that, oh, our prayers haven't hit some barrier on their way up. But God is certainly aware of those prayers. He is aware of our concerns and our weaknesses. And we begin to open our scriptures and we begin to find that page after page is a reminder and is instruction and information and inspiration for you and for me that God is always with us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So where is it that we live? We live in the hollow of God's hands. We live in His presence. You know, and even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death and darkness, we need fear no evil because God is with us. Like the Apostle Paul, though, we do have thorns in our sides, don't we? That we have prayed for release and redemption and for those sort of gifts to go away. But yet sometimes those gifts just keep on giving, don't they? And it's interesting, that phrase, you know, the gift that keeps on giving, and how it has been used in such positive and wonderful ways. It's like going to a well that is endless. In fact, Jesus promised a well like that. He promised the Holy Spirit. And He said, this gift that I give to you will be like a well that will spring up into you into eternal life. In other words, a gift that will keep on giving and giving and giving. And yet at the same time, how we as human beings have a way of just turning that very, very wonderful statement and turn it around into something. Yep. Yeah, that old car I had, you know, and even though it was a gift, you know, it just seemed like every week there was something that would go wrong. It was a gift that just kept on giving. Needed to be tended to, needed to be cared for, needed to be looked after. Well, the Apostle Paul, he says, prayed day after day for the release of that thorn in his side. And we really don't know what that thorn was. But yet, Paul realized that as that thorn was not taken away, that what he was learning, what God was teaching him and instructing him, was that in the midst of that thorn is that God's grace would be sufficient to care for him, guide and direct him, and give him the strength to live out each day, to live life to the fullest in the midst of God's presence and care and gifting to us. And so, why is it that we pray? What is it that causes us as God's followers, as the followers of Jesus Christ, to come together week after week, day after day, in Bible study and in service and in meetings? And we begin our meetings with prayer and we end them with prayer. We are continuously invoking God's presence and wisdom, guidance, direction, help and assistance, healing. And for His healing, not only for us individually, physically and spiritually, but for our loved ones and for our world. Well, prayer is God's gift of grace that calls us together. Calls us together, first of all, in faith. You know, and in faith, that trust and dependence upon God, our reliance upon God and our belief in Him that motivates us and guides and directs us and transforms and turns our lives, you know, upside down with joy and forgiveness and purpose and meaning is revealed to us in Scripture. Revealed to us in God's gift of Jesus Christ and salvation. And so in that faith of and for God's provision and blessing to us so regularly, so faithfully, so daily, is that we embrace Him as He embraces us. And it's interesting, the Bible is very clear to us, isn't it? Because if we're going to really know about prayer, we need first of all to know about God. And the more we know about God, the more we want to talk with Him. The more we want to walk with Him. The more we want to spend time with Him. The more we want to be in deeper relationship with Him. Have you ever had a human companion like that? That the more time that you spent with them, the more you got to know about them, the more you became acquainted with them, the more time you wanted to be with them, talk with them, share with them, commune with them. Of course, you've had friendships, loved ones, and companions like that. And so in this faith, faith really gets down to the core of God's loving us. We didn't love God first. We didn't have, and we don't have to coax Him or, in a sense, badger Him or complain to Him or keep knocking on the door after Him for Him to want to be with us, for Him to want to come alongside of us, to hear what's going on in our lives. You know, God's line is never busy. He doesn't have a voicemail. We never get a message from God, "Well, I'll get back to you later on that." No, God is always there, present. He doesn't always give us what we want when we want it. He doesn't always answer our prayers in the way that we feel like that they should be answered. But He always hears. He always knows. And in fact, in Romans, we're told that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us and prays for us, sometimes with groanings that are deeper than words could ever explain or express, sharing with God our needs before we are even aware of them. In our passage here, in this prayer of Paul's for the church at Ephesus, a prayer that again withstands all the ages. And he says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father," an expression of faith. And it's interesting, J.I. Packer in his book Knowing God refers to and asks the question, "What is a Christian?" He asked in a paragraph I was reading this past week, "What is a Christian?" Well, as we begin to perhaps think about that, well, we're thinking about someone who believes in Jesus Christ, someone who goes to church on a regular basis, one who has asked God to forgive their sins, one who is wanting and desiring to love another and to serve the world around them. We begin to think of all those definitions of what we believe a Christian looks like. J.I. Packer answers this, and I know I've read his book, you know, a number of times, but this week this statement really jumped out at me. He said, "A Christian is one who calls God Father." He said, "The Christian faith is wrapped up in that statement. God is my Father." Isn't it interesting that Jesus, when He was asked by His disciples, "Teach us to pray," what were the first two words that He gave us? "Our Father. Our Father." And so, by getting to know God more completely in a better way and understanding our dependence upon Him and the blessings and the gifts that He gives to us on such a regular basis, because God is that gift in all the wonderful, wonderful, marvelous and extraordinary, in fact, superlative ways. And in verse 20 it says, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more." In other translations it says, "abundantly more." And not only immeasurably more and abundantly more, but more than all that we could ask or even imagine. This is a God that loves and cares and gives to us. And His love flows and is poured out to us. Have you ever been to Niagara Falls? Have you ever seen a waterfall? Have you been to Victoria Falls? You see a waterfall that is just flowing in abundance. And the roar, the sound, the abundance, the provision. That's how much God cares for you and for me. And He longs for us to come in communion and in faith and in trust and in dependence upon Him. He says, I pray that out of Paul says, I pray that out of His glorious riches, God's glorious blessings and riches for you and for me, that He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. It's fascinating. We pray, because I sometimes ask that question, why is it that we pray? Well, Paul prayed. In every letter that he writes, there is a prayer of sorts, a prayer of some kind, a benediction. Jesus prayed. Before Jesus selected his disciples, he prayed. When Jesus was tired and in need of refreshment, he would go off by himself on long journeys away from the crowd where he would pray and he would commune. What was Jesus doing before he began his earthly ministry? When he experienced the temptations of Satan, he was out in the wilderness fasting and praying. On the night that Jesus was arrested, what was he doing in the Garden of Gethsemane? He was praying. And he was praying individually, but yet at the same time, he was pleading with his disciples to pray with him. Corporate prayer. And so in our worship service, as we are going through these understandings and instruction as to the things that we do in worship together, is that we pray. You see, our communion is not just with God in prayer and in conversation and explaining and pouring out before Him our needs, our concerns, our worries, our anxieties, as well as the things that we're thankful for. But we're here for each other as well, to acknowledge our common faith, our community faith, our community connection. Connecting with God, one another, and the world through Christ. Our mission statement as a church, as the session has reflected upon that and given us that statement. And it's interesting is that since that has been a point, a statement, a phrase of discussion and reflection for us, every day I'm finding, in fact, twice or three or four or five times a day, I'm finding how that statement is a part of our lives. Connecting with God, one another, and the world through Christ. And so we pray in a community prayer. We have a pastoral prayer that leads and guides us and brings before God all of our concerns, our cares. Our prayers are broad, and we seek to be deep in those prayers as well. And we seek to be very specific. Because when we're specific in our prayers, we then can make a note of it. Lord, you know, I have this test coming, or I'm praying for my son or my daughter or my grandchild or my neighbor, and they're facing a situation, a loss of a job, a family matter that is causing them great grief or struggle or challenge. And we're watching and waiting to see how God is going to be involved, how God will bring about an answer, what might be the solution. And so when we pray together, we are connecting our hearts and our lives before the living and loving God. And acknowledging Him, Lord of our lives, Lord of our world, Lord of the church, Lord of our worship together. So when we pray, we are acknowledging our faith and our communion and our intimacy with God and His care for us. And so the Apostle Paul in this prayer in verse 17, he says, "So I pray that you being rooted and established in love," for it is God's love that roots us and establishes us, "so that we may have through that love power together," not power alone, but notice he says power together "with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ." You see, God's love and the love of Christ for you and for me even exceeds three dimensions. It's four-dimensional. In other words, it makes it incomprehensible. It makes it infinite. It makes it beyond our understanding. It makes us to want to stand up and shout with joy, "God loves me. God loves us." And because of His great love, He gives us the gift of communion and communication with Him. His line is always open and available. A call to God is always local. And so this love of Christ, this gift of grace, is to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to the measure of all of the fullness of God. And when you begin to think about how full God is, He's omnipotent, He's omniscient, He's omnipresent, He's omni, He's everywhere, He's full, you know, and filled to overflowing, filled beyond our comprehension. And Paul's prayer is that we too may be filled with that fullness of God, the gift that keeps on giving and never, never lacks. Will never, a well that will never run dry. So the question I have then for us is that question that I ask of myself first. I had my pastor friend and mentor, Henry Date, when I served in the church in Indianapolis. He used to talk about the fact, he says, "Okay, I'm up here preaching and it may feel like I'm pointing my finger at all of you, you know, when it comes to this gift that of prayer that God gives to us. And now I'm going to ask you, how often and how regularly are you putting that gift to work? How often are you utilizing and relying upon that gift?" And then Henry would say, "Now, you may see this one finger pointing out at you, but you know what? There are three fingers pointing back at me." And so how often am I making prayer a regular activity, experience, and taking advantage of the gift that keeps on giving in communion and personal relationship with God? Not as often as I should. I need to make this prayer life, as Paul encourages us to pray without ceasing, be in relationship with God without ceasing, for He is there regularly, always, 24/7. And so then, as we take advantage of this communion, fellowship, and worship of God, this gift of prayer, and this faith that has been given to us, we will then know how God has extended Himself and provided for us immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work. Where? Where is His power at work? In us. Wow. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all the generations, for all of history, forever and ever. Amen. There's a prayer that we need to be saying right now because we have men from the area, Palm Desert, Rancho Mirage, Indio, Palm Springs, and they're out in Ironwood Prison this weekend, Kairos Ministry. And they're reaching the unreached, or sometimes we might say those who might seem to be the unreachable. And they're confessing and offering their testimony of God's goodness, greatness, power, and love to the fellowship there at Kairos and at Ironwood State Prison. So we pray for them and for their effectiveness. We pray for the missionaries around the world that we support, for their effectiveness, for their energy, for their health, for their well-being, so that their message may go forth. Jesus said, if we want laborers to go out into the world, then what do? We start a program. We form a committee. Too often that is our answer for it, isn't it? But the Bible tells us is that we pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out and to raise up those laborers. So let us be fervent and daily, constant and unceasing in our prayer and our communion with our Father. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.